yielded that message to the Holy Spirit and said, okay, I'll say it, not knowing for sure necessarily what it was going to say. But the Holy Spirit is given that we might be intimate with Him. The Holy Spirit also speaks the new law into our hearts. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. When you allow the Holy Spirit an intimate walk with you, God starts to write His own law of truth in your life. He writes His own truth for you. It may be different than my truth. There may be things that God convicts you of or gives you sensitivity toward that I don't. But that's all done for His glory. And I'll tell you that when God wills to do those things through us, it's not that we should envy somebody else's gift, but we should rejoice in what He's allowed us to have. And the Holy Spirit gives us that law, that new law. Getting ready to close the message here, and there's one quick exhortation from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul says this to the Corinthian church as he closes his letter. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. What was Paul's wish for the Corinthians after all the things he had told them in his second letter? The last thing he told them, that they should have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You see, this day of power of Pentecost came not because it was just for preaching, but it's for life. It's for life. It's for thriving in this world and not just surviving in it. Amen. It is. It's to make your life easier to be a Christian. And many suffer with a struggle without it, or some do well without it. Do you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be saved? No, you don't. The thief on the cross never got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Did he? People in the Old Testament never got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I know they're waiting for the resurrection day. And there are many Christians who never get a chance to ask for that. And they're not any less saved than those that do. Being filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit does not make you more spiritual. It makes you more willing. There's not two classes of believers with God. And the Holy Spirit was never given that we'd parlay that in some kind of spiritual authority. That's not the objective of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make you a more humble or a more important person. He makes you a more humble person. Because it's a new awareness of the power of God and the power you don't have. The day of Pentecost is a great, great day for us to remember. Why? Because a new law came into town. A new thing happened. And it's still happening today. It's still happening today. That fullness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit still is happening today. Why? Because people still need to get saved. And guess what? Miracles still need to happen. Signs and wonders still need to happen. The prophetic still needs to happen. Evangelism still needs to happen. Revival among saints that are sleeping still needs to happen. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things. We can't do them on our own. You see, it's not for our glory that we get it. It's for God's. Let's bow for just a minute, shall we? We're going to give opportunity after the service for anybody who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not about a magic ceremony. It's not about coming to the altar and that's where you get it. A lot of people I know have gotten it right in the door of their own home. My daughter Kayla was filled right in the threshold of the bathroom door in our house in Dassel. Why? Because God wanted to prove to us that it didn't have to happen at church. And God is mysterious in what he gives us. He says you need to ask, seek, and knock. And I don't think the gift of the Holy Spirit is any different than that. I think if we ask, we seek, we knock, we find out, Lord, we want to have it. He'll ask us if we're ready to yield to him. But all we have to do is ask for it. The Bible says that he is a good father and he gives good gifts to his children. Jesus said this in the book of Luke. He said, wouldn't the Father give the Holy Spirit to any who ask him? If you, being parents, earthly parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, wouldn't the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? And I implore you today, if God is speaking to your heart and he's asking you for an opportunity to yield to him this morning for that, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, even today, I want you to start to pray. Just start to pray. We want to continue to invite God's presence here. We don't want him to feel like we're done, because he's not done yet. So we just need to pray that God will move in the rest of this service. And it's an incredible Sunday to be in church. There's only one prerequisite to having the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's to know Jesus as your Savior. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, it says that while he was preaching, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues. Peter didn't even get a chance for an altar call. And God moved in a powerful way. If you desire that gift this morning, if you desire that power, that boldness this morning, if you desire that discernment this morning, if you desire that intimacy this morning, I want to give you opportunity. I want to give you opportunity. So if you're here this morning, I'd like you just to, if we could all just stand for just a moment, we're going to dismiss in just a second.